Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
You're listening to the Prescription for Purpose podcast, the go-to space for everyday women to go from surviving to thriving by pursuing a purpose that's truly rooted in faith. And now, we're also becoming the premier space for Christian coaches and therapists to finally learn how to integrate faith into their practice without being churchy or limiting their audience. Each week, we'll merge biblical wisdom with practical everyday application so that you can be empowered to excel in every facet of your life and business. Are you ready? Let's get started. Welcome to another episode of the Prescription for Purpose podcast. Did y'all enjoy last week's episode? I got a lot of great feedback from the episode last week, and I'm excited because we are diving into what it means to understand how to create content God's way. And this week, God is going to give us our divine content creation strategy for us to be able to sit down and know that when we are creating in whatever respective lane God has called you to create, that we're doing so His way. And I believe that once you understand the perspective that you need to have shift, you'll never have a block again in terms of your creativity. Now, in order for us to understand content creation, how to create, where do you think we're about to go? Child, Genesis. Okay, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. And when you study this scripture in the Hebrew, there's two things that are really important and that stand out. First, this word created is written in what is called a Hebrew perfect, meaning that it emphasizes the way that it's written, the construct in which it is written. It emphasizes that the action of creation is finished. In the beginning, God created. Hebrew perfect, meaning that that's it. That's all. He created, past tense, meaning that He did it all. And so when you look at this word in the Hebrew, bara, which I hope I'm pronouncing correctly, probably not, child, okay? But I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. It's B-A-R-A, is the word created in Hebrew. And it emphasizes that God is the creator, capital C. And it means to create out of nothing. And creation by God is not only sustained, but it originates and is regulated by the Lord. He's the only one to create something entirely new. How do we know this? Solomon told us in Ecclesiastes 1:9, and I'm going to read it from the NLT because I love it. History merely repeats itself. It has all been done before. Nothing under the sun is truly new. And this word new means that nothing under the sun has not previously existed. And so we have to understand that when we are creating content in whatever facet God has called you in, God may give you the update, like an iOS update, right? Look at the iPhone. They don't really be changing nothing. They don't really be changing a whole lot of nothing. The structure has honestly stayed the same, but then there are these updates that make the phone, make the technology more applicable to the time in which we are in. And so what God is doing with a lot of us is he is giving us the update for this dispensation of time. And so we have to be willing and open to understand that because none of this is new, that means that if you just simply submit yourself to the Lord, he will give you the downloads and tell you what to do. And so a lot of times, as we talked about last week, we need to check those four things, right? Am I distant? Am I discontent? Am I in disobedience or am I distracted? If you feel like you're hitting a content block. And more importantly, we need to understand our role, right? So let's talk about our position in terms of God entrusting us with content, entrusting us with ministries, businesses, his people. I love that God is about to give us this little download. So hear me good. We about to go to school for a second. Many of you probably don't know who Steve Wozniak is. Steve Wozniak created the Apple computer. He built it. He put it together. He is the creator of the Apple computer. Steve Jobs is the founder of Apple, the company. They co-founded it. But Steve Wozniak built the structure. He put all of the chips where they belong, did the things, and Steve Jobs founded the company and grew it and expanded the vision and the mission. And Steve Wozniak was a part of that for a while, stepped down, whole thing, go read it. But I say that to say the person that we know when we think of Apple is typically Steve Jobs, not Steve Wozniak, even though he is the creator of the computer. Our job is to be the founder, not the creator. God is already created. When we talk about our position with the Lord, God is the creator. That means he created everything. He's the source of all inspiration, all vision, all truth. He created the universe. He created humanity. He created all of the fundamental principles that God, life and faith. God did it all. He created. And so he gives us all of the spiritual truths, the insights, all the things that we need. He's given to us. His word, right? The Bible is our ultimate source of wisdom, guidance, and revelation. And God's responsibility as the creator is all-encompassing. He's the one that imparts vision to us. He's the one that gives us purpose. He's the one that gives us direction through his word and through his spirit, the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us. God is the creator. He allows us the ability to be the founders. We take his vision that he's given us, that he's placed on the inside of us, and then we bring it to life in very practical and tangible ways. So ministries, creating content, developing programs, all of these things that reflect and communicate the truth of God. And I love this because I've spoken about this before here, about how I was a nonprofit founder. I am a nonprofit founder. I have a nonprofit organization called Hearts Over Habits that I founded back in 2019. And when you create a nonprofit organization, that nonprofit organization belongs to the public. It doesn't belong to you because it serves the public. That's why you get the tax benefits and all of that. It belongs to the public. I'm the founder of the organization, but I'm not the organization owner. It's owned by the people that it serves. My job as the founder is to help with the vision, the mission, help bringing things to life, help leading, making sure that I'm avoiding risk, strategic planning, cultivating culture. I have all of these responsibilities. However, the organization does not belong to me. That's why people who are founders of the organization can get voted out of the organization if they pose a risk to the mission and the vision. And a lot of us need to have that understanding. Even if your business is not legally structured as a nonprofit organization, we need to understand that when we do work for God, it's giving nonprofit. It's giving 501c3. Okay? C3 being the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, Christ. It's giving 501c3 organization. Because our job is to have the vision, the mission, bring it to life, to steward well over it. However, if we get the tripping, if you don't think that God won't remove you from position and anoint somebody else to continue the work for his people, you better go look at Saul and how he got out of position, worried about everything else. He disobeyed the word of the Lord from the prophet Samuel. Go check it out. And that's how David ended up getting anointed. Because we don't understand that as founders, our position is to serve the people. Same with the nonprofit organization. The goal is to serve the people. And so when we create content, we are founders. The same way that Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak, they founded the organization. But Steve Wozniak created the Apple computer. Steve Jobs saw the vision, got it, and was like, okay, let's make this better. He had that business mind. He helped bring about the business. So it's our job to translate what God gives us, to take what God places in our hands, and we then translate it into resources that are going to help educate, equip, and edify the body of Christ. So whether it's writing books, producing videos, developing curriculum, leading organizations, working well in your job, because that also is the position that we need to take even in the secular positions that we're in. God has allowed me to even still serve on my job because God will allow you to make all things better. God will have you in your job changing policies and procedures and being an answer to problems. Because our creativity is not limited to us just hopping on a mic and building a platform. It's our responsibility as the quote unquote founder of whatever God has placed in your hand to make sure that we are being faithful and integritous in the way that we interpret what God is saying and then communicating his vision. So that means that we have to discern God's guidance. That means we need to be praying. You need to be studying and reflecting on the word. That means that you need to be creating content in a way that aligns with biblical principles and it accurately conveys God's message. That's why you need whole context and not just a little bit. That means that you establish the structures and the platforms that support the dissemination of the content, right? That's why when you look at the book of Acts, you see that the apostles were sent to particular places with particular messages. And it's so important that whether it's a website, a podcast, an app, that God gives you the way in which he wants you to communicate and disseminate the information that he's giving you, to disseminate the vision that he's giving you in a way that is going to reach the people he's calling you to reach. And this is why you can't get caught up in conforming in what everybody else is doing. If God is calling you to young adults, then he might have you be on TikTok. But if he's not calling you to the young adults, then you may not need to be on social media like that. I ain't gonna hold you. My social media been dry. I don't have time. However, I also understand who I'm called to. I'm called to women about my age. We listening to podcasts. We reading books. We're doing the things. We do some TikToking, but that's not going to build the platform that I'm looking for. And God hasn't called me to focus on that in this season. And so we have to make sure that we are putting the structures and platforms in place to disseminate the content. When God told me to build an app, because at some point, and I don't know when, we're not going to have as much freedom to get on other people's platforms and speak about the name of Jesus. It's coming. It's in the book. It happened in the Bible. And if you are tapped into what's happening, you will know that it's coming. I feel like this is why there's this great push to birth this content. And so I don't have to worry about getting demonetized on somebody else's app, because the whole point of me building the Prescription for Purpose mobile app is to be able to put the content there that God is calling me to put for those that he's called me to. And in due season, it'll be everything that God has called it to be. And so God had me establish that or build that channel. And then you're also supposed to lead as a founder, meaning that you have integrity, humility, a servant's heart. And then I'm pointing people back to the Lord. He's the ultimate source and the ultimate inspiration of authority. The issue that you see within the land is that there are a lot of people who forget who the actual source is. So now you out here going harder for your favorite pastor, prophetess, whomever, whatever title they didn't gave themselves. You're going harder for them, fighting in the comments for them. And you don't be fighting in the comments for Jesus. It's because these people have conditioned you to believe that they are the authority. Nobody has more authority than God. But when you allow the platform that you've been called to steward over, you're the founder of, when you begin to allow that to warp your perspective of the actual position that you're in, you'll start building an altar unto yourself and then throw Jesus's name on it. And that's why in Matthew 7, people come up to God and Jesus, and he's like, Lord, Lord, I prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name. I never knew you though. I don't even know who you are because you're not connected to the source. And so when we talk about our perspective, God created all things, nothing new under the sun, and we understand our position, it takes a load off. I just have to steward well over this. So God, what do you want me to say to your people? God, what's going on? I need to be praying and fasting and meditating on the word. And God will illuminate things even in your day to day. I have been sitting in clinical, and God gave me a download based on something that a client is saying. I've been at work and God showed me something, or I experienced something with a child at work and God gave me a message. When you are connected to the source, the creativity is so, the influx of creativity, the influx of assignment, inspiration, you won't run dry. I have so many things that God is placing on the inside of me that I'm so full, I wish I could get it all out. Now, what I'm having to manage is me stewarding over the delivery and the development of that. So prepare yourself that you could go from a place of dry to overflow, and then you need to be prepared to manage and steward the overflow well, or the enemy can even utilize that to get you to a place where you are distracted and then you have analysis paralysis. So our first job is to make sure that we are stewarding well over the vision that God is giving us, that you approach what you're doing with a level of humility, and that you're seeking to honor God in all that you do. The first part of your growth strategy has to be to honor God. The people can't even always dictate what you're talking about, because this is God's message to his people. And so even if you are not connected correctly, another risk that you face is the fact that the people that you've been called to serve will end up lording over how you create content, what you talk about, what you're not going to talk about. When God's like, no, they need this. And sometimes they don't even know what they need. You need to make sure that you're collaborating with God. So this is a partnership with him. You need to make sure that you're continually open to his direction and his correction. I can't tell you how many times I have had a plan in the society where I'm like, oh, this, I'm going to teach this series. Bing, bang, bop is done. God's like, no, you're not. Lesson changed. This is what they need to hear. So have structure, but make sure that you are fluid enough with the Lord that he can interrupt you, because there will be times where there is a divine interruption. You need to make sure that there's a level of integrity and faithfulness. Your content needs to be biblically sound and spiritually enriching. Go over to Ephesians and you will understand that in Ephesians 4:11, it talks about how God has given teachers, apostles, evangelists. He's given these five major offices to the church as the cornerstone of the church. And then he said these are their responsibilities. And when you continue reading, there are three responsibilities that you have as a leader. To edify, meaning that you are building people up in the word. That you are educating, that you are teaching them. And not just 10 steps to get to the next la la la. No, they need to, what am I teaching them about? Themselves and God. Because everybody wants a quick fix, hot pocket recipe, and that's not how this works. And then we need to empower them, meaning that people should be able to hear what you're saying and then go out and serve in their position within the body of Christ. The issue is that a lot of people only want to teach up until the point that it is of benefit to them. You don't want to pour out your best because you then think that you're not going to get recompense from the Lord, which is crazy. Or you only want to give people enough to where they keep coming back to you as the source, because that's how we've been taught and we've been manipulated into thinking that we should behave. But if you look in the book of Acts again, right, particularly what's coming to mind is Philip baptizing the Ethiopian eunuch. And this is off top of the dome. This is Holy Spirit. So it's in Acts. Google it, right? It's in there. Philip sees this eunuch. And what's crazy is like God straight, like he like transported Philip from one place. He literally popped up in another place. The eunuch was reading. Philip helped him interpret what he was reading. This Ethiopian eunuch. I need you to know that Ethiopia is in Africa. So for all those people who believe that Christianity is the religion of a white man, please read your Bible. Anyway. Philip engages with him. He educates him, teaches him, interprets just the things. He baptizes him. So now he's been built up. He's reconciled with the Lord. And the minute that eunuch comes up from the water, God's like, and you're out, Philip, and transports him again. It's wild. It's a wild business. And that's in New Testament. And then it is believed, scholars believe, that the Ethiopian eunuch helped bring Christianity to Ethiopia, you know, a country on the continent of Africa. Okay. So Philip educated, Philip edified him, and then he was empowered to go and do the things. Philip didn't say, come back and sign up for my group for 1999 in order for you to receive, for me to teach you everything you need to know. He gave him everything that he needed to know and sent that man on his way. And yes, we want to be wise as business people, but don't allow you to negate God's business trying to create revenue streams of your own. So if God tells you to pour something and you're like, but God, this is my whole, like, this is all I got, then that must mean that he's getting ready to make room for more. So as you see me begin to create content, even on my YouTube, there are things that I've been sitting on because I didn't know how to utilize it. And God's like, hey, put it on YouTube. Yep, I know it's free. Put it on YouTube. Do what I'm telling you to do because I'm making room for more. So we need to make sure that we're positioning ourselves that way as we speak. People should be able to leave your podcast, read your book, and they shouldn't feel like, oh, I got it, but I don't fully understand. No, give them everything that God has called you to give them. Go above and beyond to make sure that they are educated and empowered to go out and do what God has called them to do, and that they've been edified, built up. How do we do that? We do that by studying God's content creation strategy. So when you read Genesis and the story of creation, there are four things that we see in terms of God's intention of creating. And when we create from a place where we're following these same four things, you'll never run out of content, and it will ensure that your content remains integritous. So here we go. Here's the content strategy, friend. First, God's first reason to create was that creation is an expression of God's glory, right? The Bible opens up and it says that in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created. And everything God created was declared to be good. So the culmination of his creation, humanity, all of it is made. It's made in his image. We are to bring his glory. God's intention to create the world was to display his glory and his character. That, like, the reason he made us is to reflect his image. He wrapped it all up, bird, sky, heaven, earth, like all that. But you know what's going to set it off? A reflection of me, period. So the first key is that when we are creating, are you creating to bring glory to God? Is what I'm creating bringing glory to God? Is it a reflection of his glory, of his character, of who he is? Is it in alignment with his word? I'm going to give you Bible, okay? Revelation 4:11. You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and they exist because you created what you pleased. So if the goal is to create what pleases God, your content needs to glorify God, not your flesh, not the latest trends. It needs to glorify the Lord. The next reason that God created, the next piece of the content creation strategy, is to establish relationship. God created humans in his image, right? Like that's how we got here. This is fundamental because it signifies not just the sovereignty, not just God's power, but his intention for relationship. So in Genesis 2, God creates Adam, sticks him in the Garden of Eden, to work and take care of it, to steward over it. He didn't create it, but God's like, you're going to be a founder. I'm going to put you in charge. You can name all these things. Then he creates Eve as a companion for Adam. And the Bible speaks about how God, even before Eve was there, his presence would be felt. He would walk in the garden, alone in the garden with Adam. His presence would be there with him. Relationship. Genesis 1:26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So when I am creating, am I helping people establish a relationship with the Lord? How is what I'm creating helping the vision that God has given for creating? Is it reflecting his character? Is it a reflection of him? Is it an expression of his glory? And is it something that is a catalyst that is going to help people establish a relationship with God? That's the question, friend. How is what I'm creating and putting out helping people either establish, reestablish, deepen, build their relationship with God? Because when God created, his intention was to establish relationship. That's why it's not good for man to be alone. That's why there's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the communal triune God, okay? Community. Relationship. The next thing is making sure that we understand that God created for reconciliation. So in the fall of humanity in Genesis 3, their sin and brokenness now brought into God's good creation, but it does not negate God's plan. So even when we sinned, even the minute that sin came into the world, God had already made the plan and had the plan to redeem us. That's why he told the serpent, "You'll bruise his heel, but her seed will crush your head." That was God already being like, "Don't even worry about it, because Jesus Christ of Nazareth, okay? The redemption plan has already been put in place." And then we just simply see it unfolding through Abraham, Moses, David, and it culminates with the birth of Jesus Christ. So all of those things that took place was just an unraveling of God's plan. It was God's intention to redeem creation. He's taking back what belongs to him. And we have to understand that when we create, we should be creating from a space that we are producing things that are letting people know that there is room for redemption, that you are creating tools and things like that to where people can reconcile and understand the ability to reconcile back with the Lord. Jesus Christ made it an option, and now we are in charge of producing content, resources, books, workbooks, journals, podcast episodes, websites, ministries that help facilitate that. How is the content you're creating facilitating the message of reconciliation? The Bible says that we are ministers of reconciliation. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 19. It says, "And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation." He's given us the task of reconciling people to him. So in your content creation, what ways is it promoting this reconciliation? If that's the key and that's the goal. The last piece of the strategy, if you're going to create content God's way, you need to understand that God created for representation, right? God created us to be his representatives of him here on the earth. So when the scripture tells us that God has made us new creatures in Christ, it's not because he made us into new people physically. Like, I still look like I'm still me. but it's the quality in which the way that he's changed us. I don't have the same qualities and characteristics that I had at 19. Praise the Lord. She was reckless. Sis was wilding. She was knucking and bucking ready to fight. Okay. She came to the club shaking her dreads, throwing bows and busting heads. Praise God that he makes all things new. He changed the quality of who I am. And so he created that change so that we can be his representatives here on the earth. This is why we have the assignments that we have. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:20 through 21. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. And it's our job to be his representation here on the earth and tell people to come back to God. So even if you're offering a program, even if you're offering a service, the webinar that you give, friend, you need to make sure it's of value to people. There's way too many people throwing God's name on the things that they create, and you're not providing value. Even if someone cannot afford to buy the service, participate in the membership, there's nothing wrong with you having those things. The issue is, though, that you'll create content in such a way that you're not even considering the fact that in all things, I'm supposed to glorify God. I'm supposed to make sure that I'm giving people something to help establish a relationship with him. I'm supposed to be a minister of reconciliation, allowing people the opportunity, sharing the good news of like, hey, I know that this looks jacked up right now, but through Jesus Christ, you can be reconciled. Jesus Christ can heal that in a way that is of value to them. And then that you're supposed to be representing the Lord. They're supposed to be a representation of God through the way that you create your content, through the way that you deliver it, through the way that you speak to people. So you like, I don't know why. We love people who like yell at us and belittle us and berate us. I'm not talking passion, because y'all know I can get on this microphone and be passionate. I'm talking about people who will call you dumb. Girl, I'm an image bearer of the Lord. You better watch who you're talking to. People who like to spread audacity, and we've confused that for authority. We have to be mindful that if our content does not look like this, then you're not creating content God's way. This is the strategy. If you want to have a never-ending flow of content, you have to understand that God creates all things. You have to understand your perspective and your position. I'm the founder. It's my job to get the vision and then to turn it into what God is calling me to, based on the people that he's calling me to serve. There's a scripture in the New Testament. I can't remember off the top of my head right now where it is, but Paul said, when I was amongst the Jews, I did what they did. Like, I'm going to allow myself to assimilate so people understand, like, I can meet you where you are without compromising. That's the next conversation, because you can connect without compromising, but we'll talk about that next week. But we have to be willing and able to understand, like, I'm the founder. I am just supposed to be here to communicate to these people. That means you have to know them, understand their struggles, have some empathy and compassion. And then you produce from that. And when I produce, when I post, it needs to be an expression of the glory of God. It needs to show his character and his glory to people. It needs to facilitate establishing a relationship with the Lord. It needs to speak to the level of reconciliation that you have in Christ. And then it needs to be a representation of who he is. That's why last week I had to go off about us not being in the word, because how are you going to produce in a place from a place that expresses the glory of God, that establishes a relationship, that reconciles people, and that represents him if you don't know that for yourself? Now you're talking out the side of your neck, as my daddy would say. Now you're talking out the side of your neck. I don't understand that colloquialism, but I'm a Google it because I want to know now. I want to know where that came from. But how are you going to do that and create content God's way if you don't have the content on the inside of you? If you're not in relationship with him, if you're not understanding and living your life in a way that you know his character, if you're not fully reconciled back to him, not that you're not being sanctified, that's an ongoing process, but there's just a level of relationship and devotion that you have to the Lord in order for you to create content that is pleasing to him first, that being the first key performance indicator of your content creation. And then whatever numbers in the things. This is how you create content God's way. So I pray that this blessed y'all as much as it blessed me. I love you, friend. I'm going to see y'all next week. We're going to dive into part three, where we're going to talk about what we can learn through God's creative process. So I pray that this blessed y'all. If it did, girl, let me know. Leave a review. Give us 5 stars. We strive for 5. I'm trying to get more ratings to help spread this news, this message, to grow the show. Follow me over on YouTube. I'm going to start dropping stuff. That's all I got, friend. I love you. God bless you. And I'll talk to you next week.